Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hines.
Hey everyone, my name's Austin with Waypoint Property Inspection, and today we have an awesome podcast. You can tell right off the bat we're filming in a different location. So right now we are in our training room where we actually have the ability to train new home inspectors. And we also have some fancy props that you can see up around here. Behind me I have a cut open water heater, we got some pipes up on the table, and then some electrical over behind Evelyn. But today our podcast is actually not going to be focused on home inspections or real estate, but instead focused on community. And joining us, we have Marianne Masolio with the One Voice Foundation. Hi, Marianne. How are you today?
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We also have Evelyn Silmi, a licensed real estate agent with RE/MAX Realty Unlimited. Hi,
Hello,
Evelyn.
Hello, everybody.
And just to put Evelyn on the spot, this is her first podcast, so it's going to go great. And then right to my left, we have Bob Heinz, founder of Waypoint Property Inspection.
Hi, everyone.
How's it going? Thank you, everybody, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes,
absolutely.
Likewise.
So talking about community, we really wanted to focus on learning more about the One Voice Foundation. And Marianne being the director, right?
Correct, that's, yes.
Okay, so the director of the One Voice Foundation, we felt that it would be great to have you come on. And rather than us just talk about what we know, hear it from the person who has the most intimate knowledge about, you know, what One Voice is all about,
sure.
What it's achieving for the community. So if we want to just go ahead and get started, if you can just tell us a little bit more about One Voice and what you do for the community.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you all so much for having us. This is a great opportunity to help us raise awareness for pediatric cancer as we get near September, which is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So anything we can do to let the community know what we're doing, we're happy to be able to have this opportunity. The One Voice Foundation has four major focuses: family support programs, pediatric cancer research, a legislative committee that travels to Capitol Hill, and the One Voice Academy, the first school in the United States for children with cancer. Our programs are designed to meet the needs of all family members. Our philosophy is that the entire family is diagnosed, not just the child. So we have a sibling-only program, which is just for siblings. It's called SIBS, Strengthen Brothers and Sisters, and it's specifically for siblings of pediatric cancer patients. We have a preschool program called TOTS, which is a very popular little program with our wee ones, meaning Together Oncology Toddlers. These are children that have been diagnosed with cancer under the age of 5, so they are obviously not going to be in a daycare center right now with no immune system. So we gather and we play together from 9 to 12 in the morning, which is really a whole lot of fun, and gives the moms an opportunity, too, to catch up over coffee and share their stories and look for resources and spend time together. We have a very popular program with our equine therapy program with our community partner, Quantum Leap. We have 13 therapy horses. The children come out, and it's actual therapy on the horses. These are equine therapists. They are given specific tasks. It's not like a rodeo or a country farm type thing. It's a very powerful program. We have children in our bereavement program that have lost a brother or sister to cancer. It's a very big, unfortunately, getting larger, Voices of Angels program. We offer bereavement programs for individual counseling, group counseling. We're the only resource in the area, really in the state of Florida, that this specific for a family that's lost a child to cancer. We've been invited to take that program nationally. So each year for the past 5 years, we've traveled up to Washington, D.C., where we have facilitated for families that have come from all 50 states, and we do a virtual for 54 countries for families that have lost a child to pediatric cancer. We have an amazing tutoring program. Our children obviously miss a lot of school. We partnered with the Newsom High School right here. I always like to give them a huge shout out. They partnered with the One Voice Foundation 12 years ago to form the One Voice Club. And these amazing teenagers come out every week. They tutor the children both virtually and in person. And they're just amazing. And they do fundraising. And they do our summer camps and our swim lessons. And they're very, very hands-on. We have our largest program is our financial assistance program. We pay for utilities, rent, mortgages. The last thing you need to do is lose your home. or have your car taken away from you. In the 30 years that I've been doing this job, I've seen myself personally seeing two tow trucks come in the parking lot hospital to take a family's car away. So we don't ever want that to happen. We give a lot of travel vouchers for families who travel out of state for treatment to make sure that things that are covered, not covered rather, under insurance are taken care of. We have Parents Night Out, which is a very fun, popular program, as you can imagine. These children get to spend time with our great volunteers, and moms and dads get to have date night. We have an 80% divorce rate. We have financial ruin. We have siblings acting out. This disease hits, and it hits hard. When it's your child, sometimes I always try to say that a marriage is a relationship that just has to take second place. You become passing in the night. You know, you have night duty, I have day duty, there's bologna in the refrigerator, like I can't concentrate right now on what your needs are because I have to focus here, and then my siblings, and then you have extended family and all these other issues that go on, and the dynamics really shift greatly for when you get hit with this. It's very challenging. We also offer a lot of complementary therapies. We have kidding around yoga, massage therapy, art therapy. We actually have a contract with the Florida Academy of Performing Arts right here in Brandon. It's an amazing program. The children take voice, they take dance, they take music lessons. They're actually able to do it virtually now, too, as well. We have four or five students now that are taking piano lessons with the laptop on top of their piano, and they're getting taught virtually from the Florida Academy of Performing Arts. They have starred in The Lion King and Shrek and some really great performances. So, you know, these are opportunities that, you know, when a child's diagnosed with cancer and all your finances go this way, oftentimes these activities, whether it's our martial art program or some of these other programs, that they just can't afford, so they get dropped. And we're very conscious of that, and we want to make sure that we can keep it as normal as possible. Our second focus is pediatric cancer research. We fund and operate the only pediatric cancer research lab here in the Tampa Bay area under the direction of Cameron Tebbe. Dr. Tebbe is an MD who has been one of our treaters for over 40 years. He's an amazing man with just a big old heart, and his goal in life is never to have to tell another parent their child has cancer. So he's been working diligently on the vaccine for leukemia. And as all of you know who are listening, vaccine is probably the most common word you hear everywhere globally. You cannot escape that word vaccine, but it's something we have funded for well over 15 or 20 years. We've partnered with the Moffitt Cancer Center. Our lab is not licensed for live animals, so our mice study is being conducted over at the Moffitt Cancer Center. So Dr. Tebbe travels back and forth between the two labs. One thing I want to say, because it was a huge development in the vaccine, is if five women just delivered a baby, and this number two woman, her baby has protein X, he's identified that, which means that baby will develop leukemia in their lifetime. So now working on the vaccine, we now know screening all these babies when they're born, if there's a baby with protein X, they would go ahead and get the vaccine. And he wants to eradicate it like a polio vaccine. And now we can say like a COVID vaccine, as I think people are really like, wow, I get it. They're starting to really understand the importance of a vaccine. We fund prevention. Obviously, we want a cure. But, you know, meanwhile, if we could prevent cancer to begin with, because oftentimes it's the harsh treatments that kill the child, not even the cancer. So let's prevent it. Our third focus is legislation. We've been traveling to Capitol Hill now for about 15 years. We take 10 or 15 of our kids who are amazing, amazing. They were having pillow fights the night before in hotels, and I'm getting a little panicky. And then the next day, it's like this glorious testimony before Congress and the Senate at 8 years old, asking for more money, and it is very profound. We are very excited that we got the STAR Act passed, which allowed for millions of dollars to go for survivorship, treatment, access to treatment, and research for pediatrics. So that was a big accomplishment. And I say we, it was obviously families from around the country, but we've been big proponents in trying to get more money for research for pediatrics. If I held up a research dollar, 4 cents goes to the children. 96 cents goes to adult cancer. So there's a national program called More Than Four, and we believe that our children are worth more than 4 cents on that dollar. Our fourth focus is the One Voice Academy. As I said, I've been a pediatric oncology social worker for just about 30 years. 3 years into my career, my 9-year-old son was diagnosed with fourth stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he was diagnosed 9 hours after my dad. They were both diagnosed the same day, and you think you know a lot about a subject, being that, you know, I work in this field, and I know these children, and I know these parents, but when you go from the parent, you know, the staff lounge to the parent lounge, it's a whole new day. And I also learned really fast the difference between being diagnosed with an adult cancer like my dad, who had all these options at 10 in the morning, and then my son that night was like, here you go. And I was like, there's got to be more than that. You know, the medicines my son was on were developed in 1958. That's the year I was born. So in my lifetime, there's been no new chemos for children with cancer, and we just think that's not exactly accurate. So through my son's journey, the one thing that I learned, well, I learned a lot, obviously, but the one thing that made a huge impact on me was school. My son loved to go to school, and he was in fourth grade, and he went to school for about a week and then was diagnosed with cancer and really never had the opportunity to go back to school. So we had him enrolled in the hospital homebound program at the hospital, and they were like, well, he can't be in here today because these other sick children are in here. And I thought, well, where does he go? There's some place. And I learned really fast that there really was no place for him to go except home, which causes more isolation. And I think, again, the whole world is understanding what I've been saying along, is that, you know, now with COVID, the world is seeing how hard it is to have your child home and trying to work and trying to educate your child. My son passed away 6 months into treatment, and I kind of made it my personal mission to make sure that children with cancer or immune-compromised systems had the opportunity to continue their school. It's just one more thing. These are children that are told, no, you can't do that. No, can't do that. Oh, can't go to that birthday party. Sorry, no baseball. But they have the right and they have the want to go to school. So we're very excited to have partnered with the Hillsborough County Hospital Homebound Program. They've been exceptionally supportive of this program. Our school board, our superintendent, everybody that has come out to the campus and seen what we're doing and understands that this will be a very safe place to come. We will be in masks. We always are in masks. This is nothing new for pediatric cancer. I feel like everybody's kind of come into our world. You know, we've kind of always washed our hands, and we do have social distancing, and we do wear masks. And I think now everybody has a true appreciation for when and if this ever ends, this is not going to end. So that is, in a nutshell, pretty much what we do at the One Voice Foundation. We do it with one employee, and I always want to mention that, too, because with 25 programs, a research lab, Dr. Tebby takes no compensation, our trips to D.C. and the school, it's an amazing tribute to the community, to our supporters, to our volunteers, because we wouldn't be able to do it, obviously. I'm a one-man band, so we thank you, and we thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely, yeah. Sounds like you don't have anything going on.
No, we're slackers.
I was going to say, I didn't say a word and I'm out of breath.
So a couple of questions for you, Marianne.
Sure.
So one, just how long has One Voice been around?
One Voice was founded in 2009. So we are starting our 12th year as a foundation. I was with another pediatric cancer organization for about 17 years prior to that. And they asked me to join them here. That was kind of an innovative. They wanted to offer the programs as well as research, which sounded really appealing. And I wanted to do the school, and it just seemed like a really good opportunity and a wonderful fit. So 2009, right on my birthday, actually, it was the first day.
So within, what is that, 12 years?
12 years.
Within 12 years, you've accomplished as much as you have already. That's pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome for everybody. I take some credit because I'm like, this would be a good idea, but I wouldn't be able to get there without the amazing volunteers that we have. We have a tremendous board of directors, and a lot of them are oncology parents. So I think one of our hashtags is just get out of my way, you know, kind of, you know, I can have an accountant or an accountant who's an oncology mom, you know, and you can have somebody who's personally affected by this, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, and they're just going to help you get it done. Just a little extra push, maybe.
Sure. Okay. Going back to some points that you made about pediatric cancer and how that plays into, you know, all cancers.
Sure.
On the national level. Why do you think it's, you know, not as well funded or not as well studied or not as well promoted as other forms of cancer that we hear about?
The one word answer to that is rare. And it kind of, from where we're sitting and from our perspective, we don't see it as rare. But the answer you will get is, well, it's so rare. You know, children, so few children get cancer versus how many adults get cancer. So we're going to put our emphasis over here. Now, some other people say, well, they don't vote. You know, there is that. So, you know, that's why we feel like we're their voice. Our legislative committee is actually called Be Their Voice. You know, our children aren't here to have a voice. And the younger children don't have a voice. So I think the real quick answer to that is that it's rare. There's not a lot of money in pediatric cancer. There's a lot of money in the pharmacy world for adult cancers. So I'll just say rare. We like to say unique and not rare, but rare is the answer.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I personally haven't heard that before, but I can see from what you're saying how if you personally haven't been affected by it, and you're not hearing about it,
right?
You just don't know.
And that's the one thing I do ask when I'm speaking in front of a group. I'll say, raise your hand if you know someone who's had cancer. Mm-hmm. So everyone will raise their hand because everybody knows somebody. Now keep your hand up if that was a child, and you'll see like the whole room put their hands down. So they can't imagine. And it almost becomes taboo. Ooh, I don't want to talk about that. You know, that's too sad. Or, you know, I can't imagine. You're so strong. You hear all these things. But the reality of the situation is it's more common than, and it's actually the numbers are going up. It used to be, you know, 1 in 25, and it was 1 in 30. It stayed at 1 in 43 forever was the statistic. It's 1 in 46 now. So it's kind of, in my opinion, going the wrong way. The One Voice Foundation follows the federal guidelines of pediatrics. We have children born with cancer. And we our services go up to the age of 21. We service all children's, Johns Hopkins All Children's, St. Joe's Children's, Tampa General, and the adolescent program at the Moffitt Cancer Center. We serve 7 counties, but for financial reasons, you know, we can't be paying bills from around the state and the country, so we get all our referrals from the social workers at the hospital for the bills and that need to be paid.
So going back to you mentioned Newsom, a big shout out to Newsom and what they're doing. Now, I personally went to Riverview High School, so
okay.
I'm always going to say
little
go
rival,
Sharks.
Little rival.
I remember, and I know we'll talk about this later, is when we came out and saw the campus, but I remember you told us about the fishing activity and how there was a student from Newsom. What was it that you mentioned he had put together? It was something to be able to teach the kids.
Right. That's actually a Plant High School student. Oh yowza.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Plant gets the credit for that one.
Yeah, Jake gets the credit for that. Jake is a young man who lost his dear friend in grade school to a sarcoma, and the young man liked to fish. And Jake kept saying, it's not fair, he can't even fish, and, you know, that type of thing. So he came up with these casting kits, and he actually goes in the hospital and sits on the side of the bed, and he teaches the children who can't come out and who are, you know, walking around with IV poles and have just had bone marrow transplants and things, how to actually cast. And then he took it further, and he's partnered with captains here in the area so that when the family is up for it, the captains actually take the whole family out fishing, kind of a some sort of sense of normalcy in a very abnormal type of a situation. He has become the poster child for there's not enough I can do for these children. He and his mom, it's called Angling for Relief, and they're a wonderful asset to our camps. We did summer camp with them. Again, because COVID wasn't challenging enough for a summer camp, we had red tide. So we have red tide, hurricanes, and COVID, and a summer camp. So just we went the first week, but we were not able to go on the second week. But they do a lot for the kids. They do family fun days where they take them out, where there's peers. And it's just a normal day for these families who just haven't been out to actually go out and do something as a family in a very long time.
Sure. Yeah, and it's great to hear, you know, the engagement from high schools as well.
Yes.
Like, that's awesome. Because,
it's amazing.
I mean, and maybe this is just me, but like you would initially think that high schoolers would be understanding or pitching in or wanting to help out or do something like that.
Sure.
So that's awesome.
And what's really special is they're not doing it because a classmate had cancer. They're doing it because they are ridiculously charitable. And that program has grown into right now, I'm almost certain there's about 70 students. They actually have to apply. There's an actual application. There's a teacher liaison, Sandra Masacci, who got Educator of the Year at Newsom for the whole county. And they're just they can't do enough. And I think in a day and age when a lot of times you hear really bad stories, it's just really nice. I every time I get a chance to give my One Voice Club a shout out, I do. Every time I turn around to do something, it's done. And at summer camp, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, it looks like everybody's got everything under control here. And but what's neat is it goes beyond One Voice. Some of them babysit these families. Some of them help them with their homework outside our tutoring program. And I think that says a lot. I actually call the one a big sister. Ella and Laurel are a particular dynamic duo that have gotten really comfortable and really close. And I keep saying, I think they're going to adopt you, Ella. I don't know. You know, it's just really special relationships that they'll have forever.
Sure.
You know, these kids graduate and some have gone on to USF and have still supported the One Voice Foundation. Many of those teens have actually, we tour the hospital, they tour our lab. Many of them go on to be nurses and doctors and researchers. And we have one young man who just got into medical school. And it's just like, oh, my God, he was president of the One Voice Club back in the day. And, you know, I think our families touch them in a way that, you know, it's a great opportunity for hands-on as a volunteer opportunity. And even during COVID, we were able to do a lot of virtual things. Those kids need those hours for scholarship. And a lot of kids, a lot of students, especially juniors and seniors, they didn't get those hours this past year, but ours did. Ours got a ton of them, so we were very excited. And other schools are kind of looking at it. They're like, well, wait a minute. If they're doing that at Newsom, can we do that at Bloomingdale? Could we do that? It's a very Brandon-centered organization. We obviously serve the hospitals everywhere, but most of our support comes from the Brandon area.
Sure. Well, that's great to hear. Evelyn.
Yes?
How's your first podcast going so far?
It's very good.
All right. Well, you're up next. So, Evelyn, I just wanted to ask, you know, you're joining us on this podcast today and, you know, a little bit of insight as far as your association with Mary Ann, with One Voice. If you want to just tell us a little bit about, you know, what the organization means to you.
Well, yes. Well, my daughter was diagnosed in 2008. She had a glioma, cytoma in her brain, and it was non-operable. And I actually met Mary Ann when she first started with One Voice. Mm-hmm. It's that long. And my family actually went to all the camps that she mentioned. My daughter went to SIP camp, and she volunteered and gave back to the kids and did tutoring when she needed it in high school. And, you know, it's very dear to my heart, everything that Mary Ann has accomplished in the 12 years. I've seen it. I've seen her passion and how she has given back to everybody, even personally, my own family, with tutoring. I can't even imagine if I didn't have an organization like this to lean on. And so now that my daughter, of course, is older and she's not really part of the program, I still she's married, but I have it so deep fantastic. In my heart to still give back to it. And because they were there when we needed them at the most important time. And I can't say more about the organization. I appreciate everything that she's done and what she continues to continue achieving. And I mean, the organization should even be past the Brandon, you know, area. Yeah. Honestly, it should be.
We hope so.
The awareness should be everywhere because I don't think there's enough of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today. I feel like now is the time where we should have had like a big plaque ready or like bring out to you, Mary Ann. But
marching band.
Next time.
Stop.
Yes, next
no.
Time.
Just kidding.
So I know, what was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago that.
About a week ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
A week ago.
Man, time is just become a weird concept ever since COVID last year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I know that some of us from the Waypoint team came out and actually got to see the campus.
Yeah.
And do you want to just give us a little bit of insight
sure.
as to, you know, how big the campus is, how many people it can hold, kind of what happens at the campus?
Sure. We had, during COVID, an inability to do a lot of our programs, obviously, including funerals. Something that if you had told me as a grief counselor that I would attend a virtual funeral in my career and in my lifetime, I would have thought you were completely nuts. But that's unfortunately what we did. And we've been using the Rotary Camp Florida for just about 30 years for pediatric cancer. Dr. Judish, who ran the pediatric program at Moffitt, started the very first camp for children with cancer there in the early 90s. And from there, I think the families come there and there's a sense of we're going to have fun. It's a sense of wellness. It's 22 acres of oak trees. There's a beautiful dining hall. There's a chapel. The infirmary is a 5-bedroom infirmary. It has a helicopter pad. An ambulance can come right in if a child did need to be transported or airlifted, God forbid. We also can sleep 120 at our camps. We have cabin space. We have 2 lakes and boats and typical camp things, Junior Olympic pool. We also offer swim lessons on Saturday morning. And I started talking to Liz Fields, their executive director at the camp, and the Rotarians have an incredibly deep conviction for education. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that. They are a service organization. They're not just collaborating and networking. They actually have very defined programs, one of which is education. So when I told Liz that I wanted to start the school, she was like, well, no one uses this facility during school hours because it's typically weekends and summer camps. It's basically empty. So I'm like, so what you're saying is there is a possibility that the One Voice Foundation could partner with Camp, Rotary. And she said, absolutely. So we started in January of this year. We've been using it ever since for our programs, particularly tutoring. We've had the Hillsborough County School come out. They're in awe of the facility, and they understand the vision both of the Rotarians and the One Voice Foundation. The Rotarians will be offering some educational programs, too. So one of the things we can do is transition some of our kids into some of their programs as well, which is one of our goals. And the other one that I think is especially super cool is the Rotarians partner with sister Rotarians in other countries. So, for example, the Brandon Camp, their group, or a Brandon Rotarian group, could partner with a group in India or Singapore or, Montreal and say, hey, this is what we're doing for children with cancer on our property. How about you do it? And then they become like a sister, kind of a sister program, which I think is really neat. And I think there's a big need for that. Like I said, we have 54 countries that are coming to us virtually at CureFest this year. So we know this is not a unique problem in Tampa, Florida. So to be able to partner with international organizations such as the Rotarians is something that we really look forward to doing.
So Bob, what were your thoughts when we got to the campus and we started, walking around and, Marianne greeted us in her boot?
It's
probably like...
It's Marianne's. It's my favorite accessory.
Yeah.
Clunking
around.
Not the
best time to be walking all around and giving a tour.
I'm used to it.
What were your thoughts, Bob, as we were walking around and learning more about the campus
right.
and what its uses are?
Well, first I want to thank Evelyn because you're the one who introduced us to One Voice several years ago. We had an opportunity as a company to support an initiative, which it was down around the holidays, and we've been doing it ever since. When I was a kid, when I was in high school, a friend and I decided we got an opportunity to work at a camp, okay, at top of a mountain. It was to support physically, mentally challenged children. And our job was to work in the kitchen. We would serve, we would make the food, and we would be isolated from really everything else that went on in the camp. And we were young, we were men, the hormones were raging and all that, and that was perfectly suited for us. We would serve up the food and then go and do what teenage guys do while the camp ran. I literally was there a day when I went to the head director and said, I want to be a counselor. And my friend, shout out, John Fife, followed me, and we both became counselors for several years. So that all came back to me when I visited the Rotary Camp, all the memories of being able to have fun.
Right.
And
for all abilities.
And all I can say is what I've seen and what I believe is there's nothing abnormal about having cancer. There's nothing abnormal about having a physical challenge or a mental challenge. They're all people, they're all children that want to be treated normal and want to do things that are normal.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And that's what I saw. I mean, I don't want to say it was ghosts. It was memories and visions that I saw walking through that camp. It wasn't on top of a mountain. but it had all of the same, everything set up, the pool, the playgrounds, the a little bit different in the 70s as far as ADA compliant, but,
right.
you know,
right.
we did a sure. lot more carrying and, yes. and that, which yes. I'm sure is very different now. But Waypoint, you know, again, thank you, because, you know, my whole life has been looking for ways that we can be involved in the community. And just what I've learned over the last week in our visit and from what I've known over the last few years, just I'm glad we're doing this. I look forward to the future. But I was curious in that you work with young, call them counselors, you know, volunteers. I mean,
right. Sure.
We got fed and we had a bed to sleep in and
right.
a little bit of spending money. What is it about a situation like that that turns a 16-year-old boy with raging hormones into somebody who truly wants to help children, whereas, you know, from the eyes of others, they're not normal people.
Right.
And wants to help them be
right.
normal. And how can we share that, and how can we get out there so we, like you talk about, the great opportunities that are there beyond Newsom or Bloomingdale and young children that can get involved in volunteers and not be afraid, you know, of not try to isolate them from that part of the world. So I was curious.
We have what we call Volunteen mm-hmm. as opposed to Volunteer. It's our Volunteen program, and we do a pretty extensive volunteer orientation, and at the end of which some people don't volunteer, you know. We also have to touch on death. You know, you may bond with a child who passes away. So we deal with all of those challenges. We also tell them that sometimes you do develop such a great relationship, a child might confide in you. A child mm-hmm. might say something, daddy hit mommy again. Or something like that, like how to handle those kinds of situations. So they usually come in pretty trained, and they kind of are a little more anticipatory than, hey, if you guys are free Tuesday night, we need you to tutor. You know, there is a little bit of planning that goes into that. And they also know that I'm right there and that the other adults are right there. And if anything seems even pink, let alone a red flag, we're right here, so to please come find us. But what I think, to answer your question as far as the compassionate part, is that, and I see it all the time, these kids run to these volunteers. They hug them, hello. Mm-hmm. I made you this card. What? Are you kidding me right now? Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, that's just the most beautiful thing I've seen today. Like, I don't know what to do. And then the parents, it's almost like they bond with the whole family mm-hmm. because the mom will say, listen, I use you as punishment. If you're not good, we're not going to tutoring. You're not going to see Bobby. And that's, oh, okay. Then, you know, so there's just these bonds that form. They're also long-term volunteers, which is very, very important. Some come in as freshmen, and they're there till the day they graduate. This isn't a, like, I need some hours, mm-hmm. I'll go to this program, and then, yay, sign my paper. These are kids that come in. They also hear about it. And the fact that they have to apply for it, and some don't get in because they have an actual committee made up of the One Voice Club president and vice president and the teachers, and they have to submit, why do you want to be here? If you need hours, go to the next club. But if you want to make a difference, I'm thinking about going into nursing, you know, that type of thing. And I think it just molds into this amazing group. I call it a fruit salad because you have all kinds of flavors and colors and textures, and you throw them all together, and it's amazing. It truly is. They become very special. And the other observation I really noticed at camp, and I made comment this the whole week, there's no cliques. If I say, hey, Austin, I need you to work with Eva today, and you might be like, oh, I really want to work with Todd. Okay, you're like, oh, okay. Like, there's so much bonding. And we had a lot of students from other schools during summer camp. We had Riverview. We did have Bloomingdale. And even they were, like, exchanging phone numbers and texting and Facebook friending, and they're still good friends. That's what it carries over the actual experience. And that's not true for a lot of groups, but I think it's the consistency and the the relationship that I think they're not expecting it, and all of a sudden, again, and also some of them have younger brothers and sisters. I've heard a lot, like sometimes they'll say, you are so good with him. I don't know, he's a little crazy. Are you okay? And she's like, oh yeah, I got one at home like this too, no problem. So yeah, I think because they can kind of relate to some of the younger ones because they have younger siblings, not affected by cancer, but just, you know, they're used to them running around and pulling their hair or whatever's going on. And I think that just forms a more compassionate person. And I don't know the statistics, and I wish we had done some data on how many of these kids do go on into the medical field. It would be very interesting to see, because I follow them on Facebook, and they come back during the holidays and see us, and they help with the holiday parties. And a lot of them are child life specialists, nurses. You see it. You
well,
got your
my
own sibling.
My
yeah.
actual daughter, Jessica, this, you know, the sister of my other daughter that actually had cancer, she volunteered and she had the compassion because she saw her actual sister go through chemo and all the challenges that came with it. And after she stopped, I mean, she went into the medical field. Right. She's studying for that, and she wants to do sonography because, you know, that's how they found Erica's cancer. So, you know, it takes a certain type of teenager, I guess. Sometimes it could be something that personally happened to them that I think has them to have that drive to want to help and volunteer effortlessly.
Absolutely. Some of them have had parents with cancer or have lost my grandfather type of thing. So I think there's that element. But it's not required, and it's not necessary, and it's not really the leading force. It's literally they cannot get enough of these kids. Cry, you should see the tears at when camp is ending. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you go home now. This is, here's your car. Mom's here. Time to go. And they're bawling, and they're hugging, and it really is a true testament. These kids are just amazing. And that's why every time I can say, you know, let's hear a good story about, you know, teenagers today, because they clearly are that group. I just am so impressed with them. And it gets more impressive every year. Just when you think, oh, do you have to graduate? Can't you stay? The next group comes up, and then they're just as amazing. It's very powerful.
I remember my final year there because I was going out to college, and I knew I was not going to be back the emotions. And, you know, when the kids came up and said, see you next year, and, you know, you weren't going to say, I'm not coming back next year. Right, you wanted to put a good closure on a great week, 2 weeks with the family and all that. And I can tell you, I mean, it's been a long time. been a long time, but there were several of the kids that I did stay in contact with, you know, 10, 15 years after leaving through, back then we didn't have cell phones, but through pen pals. And all that.
Yeah.
And it's a great experience. And I would say for the folks that are listening to this podcast, if you have children, younger children that have opportunities to volunteer, I took the blinders off. You know, you don't want to do that, or, you know, like you said, the peer pressure, or if you remove all of those obstacles, whether they're actual or mental obstacles, I'm going up and want nothing to do with them. Within a day, I wanted to be a counselor, and I didn't have the onboarding that you did. I was just basically, here you go. And I had to learn. It was interesting.
You learned, throw me in the deep end. That's right.
But I loved it. And yeah. I went back for 3 years, and I loved every minute of it. And every year when we ended the end of the summer, it was tough.
It was tough.
Because you do form some bonds, and they're little people that want to be treated like normal people. And sadly, sometimes the world doesn't treat them like that.
Right. And it's the same with the school. Sometimes when children go to school, that is their safe place. That is their, you know, and so then the isolation as well. So thank you for sharing that. It's very special. It just kind of validates what I see and the compassion that you still implement today. And we thank you for that.
So Marianne, final question. How can people get involved? I'm sure, like, you're not going to turn down money, right? So money's always good.
Money, money, money.
But
money is good.
How can people get involved in the One Voice Foundation and really help out?
Sure. Well, there's several ways. You can go to our website and click on volunteer. We have a volunteer coordinator who accepts all of the volunteer applications, and she gets, you know, she'll call you personally and kind of go over the application. There's simple questions like, are you CPR? Do you have water safety? We kind of figure out what is it exactly that you want to do. Most of our volunteers are hands-on. We want to be with the kids. Others are like, I don't want to meet the children, but I'm great at stuffing envelopes and golf tournaments, so I can help you with fundraising. So fundraising is always a big help. Again, we don't have a fundraiser. We don't have marketing dollars. Literally everything we do, everything we raise is all done by volunteers. Sometimes an organization like the crew of the Nautilus, for example, they'll adopt us and then they'll do an event mm-hmm. to benefit us. So if if you're an organization or company that does an annual something, whether it's a tournament or a gala, you know, we're always willing to to be the benefactor for that as well. That's a big help. The other is our holiday party mm-hmm. that we're actually all kind of gearing up toward. Every year, this will be our 12th year with our community partner, Quantum Leap Farm. Mm-hmm. We have our annual holiday Ho 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 Down, where Santa comes riding in on Idaho. She's our only white horse, and we paint her in red and green and her mane, and she's just beautiful. And Santa comes in, and the children paint the horses. We do arts and crafts, decorate cookies, a lot of holidays. We have caroling, you name it. And then Santa gives everybody a gift. And again, we serve children who are born with cancer straight up through 21. So if there's an organization or company that's looking to do something for the holidays, right now this would be a good idea to start getting somebody in the office to be the coordinator and do a toy drive. Have a box in your office or your apartment complex or, you know, wherever you work or play or your neighborhood and adopt the One Voice Foundation holiday party. We collect gift cards as well. We like to be able to give the parents gas cards, Publix cards, as well. So we do some adult collecting during the holidays as well. We also collect things from Barbie dolls straight up to what I always tell people because they don't sometimes know what to get is think about a child in bed. Think about a child in a wheelchair. Think about a child in isolation. So like an Easy Bake Oven's probably not a good idea or something that has to be plugged in or, you know, has a specific place to be. But, you know, anything, you know, arts and crafts are a great one. Books are wonderful. Anything that, you know, just think about, well, if I were in bed right now, would I be able to put these Legos together? Probably. So that would be a really great item. So think about that as you get the gifts, collect them, and then we will be accepting them on November 11th. I don't know if you want to touch base on that since that is your big day, but we'll have one day that we can certainly accept them afterwards. Our holiday party is on December 11th. We're hoping to have gifts dropped off on November 11th so that we can categorize mm-hmm. them for Santa. Yes, and that'll be at the Rotary's Camp Florida. And then they'll be categorized and sent to what we call the North Pole, which is Quantum Leap Farm in Odessa. And our great One Voice Club will be there dressed in Christmas gala outfits helping give out the gifts to the families. And actually this year we have an addition at our party. As a grief counselor, I do some national grief work. And we have 15 families flying in for the weekend to do a bereavement camp at the camp. So the siblings will be going by bus to the day too so that they can have some holiday joy while we work back with the parents too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we always want all families, particularly our bereaved, to feel that because your child passed away doesn't mean you won't be included. You are included in all of our programs. So,
and we'll make sure that we add a link wherever this video is posted to your website. That way people can
Excellent.
Click to volunteer, click
It'd
to
be
donate.
Perfect.
I think at the very beginning of the video, we need to add a disclaimer. Make sure no kids are listening to this because you just gave up the secret of the North
oh,
Pole.
Oh, yeah, I did. So. Yikes. Yeah, that's true. Yup. Whoops. Oops.
But yeah, just, you know, I want to thank you for your time, for
thank
joining
you
us
all.
Today,
Are you
for
kidding?
Talking to us more about the One Voice Foundation, how we can get involved. Thank you, Evelyn, for joining as well.
Oh, likewise.
And, you know, sharing your support of the organization and what it's been able to do for you and your family. You know, thank you, Bob, for sharing your experiences working out as a camp
special.
Counselor. I mean, touring the campus looks like there's a lot of fun stuff to do there. So, you know, you may be able to relive some of those memories and go back and volunteer a little bit.
So you like to be a counselor.
Yeah, there you go. We'll talk more about that
yeah,
offline.
Yeah, we'll catch you.
Well, I can say, and again, thank you. And it's such an honor to be partnered with you and helping you is that Waypoint probably, well, Waypoint will look for additional opportunities.
That'd
and we have a great team of 20 plus or minus employees that we're looking for opportunities, hopefully when things get better in our world, to get more, I wouldn't say sweat equity, but
yeah,
get on the, you know, get out and visit and
we
do
would
things,
love you.
You know,
make some pancakes and
in addition to
some crafts,
in addition
sure.
to some, you know, donations that we give. I look forward. I meant to bring in those gnomes or those trolls.
I had the little gnome that kids made.
Things that they made them a few years ago, and
yeah.
we
it
got
was the
them
first
at,
toy drive yeah. that I had did, and you
and,
came
and
took
that
them.
Was so cool. And they're sitting on my water cooler in my kitchen, and that's why every time I see them, I think about
they're very
the
popular.
Story behind
oh,
them.
Oh, that's very special.
And
I'm so glad you have it there.
Yeah, I look forward to. Future opportunities. And
yeah,
really quick, you mentioned September.
September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay.
There are more children diagnosed in the month of September than any other month. The philosophy behind that is that, you know, kind of during the summer, you're a little off anyway. Mm-hmm. But then you notice when school starts, back to school physical exams, or, you know, Bobby's still really tired, mm-hmm. or you really are still bruising, or, you know, it just become more aware necessarily in September. And there, so as a result...
Well, it's just known fact. I mean, Erica was diagnosed on September 8th,
wow.
2008.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Jay was September 13th. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if you really go around the room of 10 moms, okay. you're probably going to get 6 or 7 probably that were mm-hmm. September. So it is. And also gold is our color. Gold is a precious metal, so when you see a gold ribbon, and it gets confusing because it's the yellow are our troops, mm-hmm. but if you see a gold ribbon, it is pediatric cancer being a precious metal, and that our children are precious. So sometimes we'll have the little gold ribbons pinned on us, which I didn't wear today. A lot of times I have them on every shirt in my closet. So that's gold, that's September, and we have a lot of events in September, so...
Well, thank you for joining us again.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For all the information.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. As mentioned, we'll make sure we include more links where you can learn more about the One Voice Foundation and volunteer and donate as well. And we'll see you on the next episode.